the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Jared and the GM, with Jared Stillman and Floyd Reese.
On ESPN.
1025, The Game.
And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025, The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. Look, if you ask anybody in sports, you know, hey, is the officiating slanted? Are they this? Are they that? They'll obviously always tell you no. The only time you ever find out that the officiating is actually cheating is like that situation with Tim Donaghy, the ref, after he was, you know, indicted or whatever. And they basically went and, you know, sent him to jail. And then he wrote a book. Then we found out that, hey, it's kind of fixed in the NBA. You know, it took a little bit of time, but we figured out it was fixed. Now, I do not think that hockey is fixed. I do not think that. But I will say this, Floyd. It, in my mind, smelled. You know, it smelled. Game one, you get your goal taken off the board. You go up 1-0 on a PK Subban goal. Then we look at this replay of Philip Forsberg's skate, and you have to zoom in and see if 1 inch of his blade touched off the inch of the 1 inch of the white ice, and you can't tell. And everybody, NBC, my own living room, everyone's saying, well, you can't, that's not conclusive evidence right there. And so you assume that they'll say, hey, there's no conclusive evidence, the goal stands. Video confirmation, and I'm looking at it like, what? What are you talking about? Then you go back to their first goal. Cali Yarncroke gets called for a penalty in which the guy clearly flopped and they didn't call anything. Then we go to game five, and in game five, you know, PK Subban is laying there on the ground and Sidney Crosby's just putting his head into the ice, and they end up sending them both to the box and Pittsburgh scores. And then, of course, the disallowed goal in last night's game. It smells. It smells. Do I think there's a conspiracy? No. But should there be a little bit of an asterisk by this cup final? Was it tainted? Is there? Because to be honest, the more and more it adds up, the more and more I think, yeah, a little bit.
I'm glad we're not those kind of guys that gripe about the officiating after all these games.
And I am not a blame the refs guy.
Oh, really?
Look.
Sounded pretty positive right there.
I'm not a blame the refs guy, but I am a realist. And the reality
is... A realist.
The reality is the officiating totally screwed the Preds in the cup final.
I don't think the
totally objective opinion.
Totally objective. I don't think the officials really care who wins one way or the other. Did I think the officiating was bad? Yes, I did. But I thought it was bad across the board. And you've heard me talk about officiating. The only thing I care about is that it's even. That you got, if you're going to call this goal on, you know, one team, you have to call it on the other. If you're going to put them in the box for doing whatever it is, then you've got to do the same to the other team. And as long as they do that, I can put up with it, even though it may not be great. And you know, given that, I mean, they took the that we didn't have a penalty yesterday. They had seven.
They were committing penalties.
We had a 5-on-3. They had nothing. They got nothing. So I can't go there. And the other thing is, I think I have too much respect for hockey, because if in fact things like this happen, then hockey is nothing more than pro wrestling. And if it becomes pro wrestling, then it'll never catch on. The rest of the country will never be nearly its. And I watch these guys play, and I see how hard they play and what they're trying to do and all that stuff. And in my mind, I think, you know what? No, they're for real. They're trying to get this thing done. Now, the official's awful. Has it been officiated poorly? I think it has. But again, I don't blame that official as much as I blame whoever the head of the place is.
Oh, see, I blame the official. Because when you're out of position.
Because all of these games have been officiated poorly. I don't care. Even the ones that we didn't participate in, that I caught glimpses of, they were officiated poorly. So if there's an issue with officials across the board, then I think you go to whoever the head official is. I don't know who that is, and we need to pick the pace up here. Or this is our first time in the finals. So we don't know how this goes. Maybe in the finals, this is the way it works for every team that makes it to the finals. Things change. You learn to play. You do business as business is being done, which means if next year we get back to the finals and you know exactly what's going on because you were lucky enough to be there this year, then you'll be more proficient at protecting yourself or, you know, doing whatever it is you can do and keep from getting penalties. But I don't know any of that. That would be a great question for somebody that's, you know, for Crispy or somebody that's been there for a while. I know I've heard all across the board how the farther you get into the playoffs, the less calls there are going to be, the less the officials want to be a part of the game. And that holds true for just about every sport that I've witnessed.
Yeah, I still think it's a little bit. It still smelled, man. I mean, every goal the Predators scored, it felt like it was coming down. And you figured if there was going to be an ultimate makeup call, that it would come by them taking the Patrick Hornquist goal off the board. And they didn't. So I don't know if I would say tainted. It smelled. The officiating was bad. And this is what I hate. Honestly, and I think a lot of Predators fans, this is the way they feel. I believe that the part that stinks when you disallow a goal and essentially lose 1-0. I know you lost 2-0, but that empty netter, you really lost 1-0, was you felt like your play on the ice isn't what got you beat. Because in Game 5, even though the officiating was horrific in Game 5, your play on the ice got you beat in Game 5. But in Game 1, where you had the goal taken off the board to start the game, and still, I, for the life of me, cannot see anything conclusive. And I'm actually more upset about that goal in Game 1 than I was. I'm still more upset about the goal last night. But, I mean, to have those two goals taken off the board, I mean, that it makes you feel like it wasn't determined by your play on the ice. And that, I think, is what bothers a lot of people. So with that, we'll get right to your calls. Let's go to Jasmine, who's going to kick us off this hour on Jared and the GM. What's up, Jasmine?
Hey, guys. So something that I can't seem to wrap my head around is the fact that Pulick, that ref that blew the whistle, he blew it immediately the second that it touched Murray's glove. So why is it that consistent across the board? If you're going to blow the whistle right when it touches the glove, then why does Rene have to wait 3 to 5 seconds for the glove to be, or for the puck to be in his glove before you call the play dead?
Fair question. Floyd, your thoughts?
That's your right down your alley.
Well, I think officiating is totally inconsistent, and that's something the NHL's got to work at. I think the NHL's got to overhaul their entire officiating program. Because, and trust me, we've seen some bad football refs, you know, Triplett, Bogar, you know, those come to mind when I think of who really stinks in the NFL. We've got some real bad baseball umpires. Now, they've kind of weeded out a lot of the big fat guys that would just get mad and throw people out of the game. But, and the replay in baseball, I think, is probably the best of all the replays. So we got some bad baseball umpires, but I haven't seen anything as bad. I mean, even college basketball is much better in my mind than the NHL. This is bad. Would you not agree, of all the sports that we watch, hockey's got the worst officials?
I think I would say during the playoff series, I thought the officiating was really, really poor.
Yeah, but how much do we care during the regular season about the officiating? You know, like, if the Predators lose a game off of a disallowed goal, we'll talk about it for one day, and that's it, and it won't. But this is the Stanley Cup final, so it's different. We care more now, you know, as opposed to how much we care during the regular season about these things. But I even thought in the regular season there's some bad officiating. Remember, there was a game in the regular season, I forget what it was, but the Predators lost the game because of intent to blow the whistle.
Vancouver, Ryan Miller.
That's it. At Vancouver, they got together and the official said that they had the intent to blow the whistle, and because they had the intent to blow the whistle, even though they didn't blow the whistle and it was a goal, the intent to blow the whistle is why the goal was disallowed. And I'm like, if we're going to put stuff like that in the rule book, then why don't we just put, hey, refs, however you want to call it, just call it. I mean, this is like a Little League baseball where there's really no, you know, evaluation of the umpire.
Yeah, I mean, I think that goes back to the original kind of concept we talked about, which was if, I mean, there aren't a number of rules on in during a hockey game that you would have to, you know, evaluate. You would have to look at the video. And because there aren't a number, if they had a good system, I mean, as fast as the game goes in hockey, I mean, it would be easy to stop the game for 20 seconds to look at a video and say yay or nay. I mean, I don't know why that isn't a thought.
Well, I mean, it is truly ridiculous. It is and it's a shame that it feels like on a certain level the Stanley Cup was decided, you know, in certain different aspects of it. I mean, I think it's sad. You know, it shouldn't be decided like that. It shouldn't, a disallowed goal when it should have been scored, and the NHL's got to get back to the drawing board. Speaking of what the NHL has to do, we'll get to that coming up next, plus your calls loaded phone lines. Hey, two parks for one low price. Go to thegamenashville.com now and get two adult tickets for the price of one to Beach Bend Amusement Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park. Beach Bend offers entertainment sure to please every member of your family. Thrill rides, water slides, lazy river, and over 40 rides and attractions, plus free parking and free sunscreen. Go to thegamenashville.com now and buy two tickets for the price of one today. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Please direct your attention to the ice for the presentation of the Conn Smythe Trophy to the most valuable player of the 2017 Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Nashville, you have been awesome. Music City is clearly a hockey city. How about congratulating your Predators and the Penguins on a great Stanley Cup final?
I felt bad for the commissioner last night, I'm not going to lie. I felt bad. You know, because he always gets booed when he goes out. But I felt like the city of Nashville was going to not boo him. And then the refs screwed the game in there at that point. You know, you're the head of it all. They're your refs. And I, you know, poor Bettman. And he tried to play to the crowd, too. Hey, Music City, you've been great. We love you. Boo! How about your Predators? Boo! I mean, they tried. Let me just state for the record, before we get to the calls, let me just state for the record, I believe the Pittsburgh Penguins were the better team in this series. I believe they are the better team, especially with Ryan Johansson not in the lineup. Pecorine's inability to play in Pittsburgh has nothing to do with the officiating, but I would like to see it decided on the ice, not by goals getting taken off the board on literally beyond questionable calls. Like I said, I'm still heated about that goal that came off the board in game one. But the goal last night, that was just, oh, was that brutal. And the question for Gary Bettman, so that he doesn't get booed every time he goes out somewhere, is what can he and the league do on the officiating? Because clearly something has to be done. This was Carey Fraser, who is a former ref, a referee expert, kind of like the Mike Pereira of hockey. This was Carey Fraser on Braden and Fitz this morning when discussing what he thinks the officials need.
If we look at the officiating performance over the course of the playoffs, I think that it needs to be better, for sure. And you know, what troubles me is that, like a hockey team, I thought Nashville Predators were really well coached. And Mike Sullivan did a terrific job with his team, preparing the team, setting up systems, changing, making changes where necessary. And I look at the officiating as a team as well. And so the coach and general manager of that team is responsible for holding the officials accountable, but also setting a standard.
Setting a standard. That's what the NHL needs.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to, I think he was talking about exactly what I was talking about before, which is they need to go to the head official, whoever that guy is, and they have to reevaluate this whole program to pick it up. Now, does that mean they teach better, they're in better shape, they know the rule book better? I mean, I don't know exactly what that means, but they need to really, really reevaluate that program because, like he said, I mean, he was an official, and he would not go out on a limb for the officiating during the playoffs. So, I mean, I think we're probably on the right track here. Does it need an overhaul? I think it probably does.
It's, to me, I just want it decided on the ice. That's all I want. I want the game decided on the ice. And I feel like that shouldn't be too much to ask for. But everybody's making this seem like it's a lot to ask for, so who knows. Let's get to the phones. By the way, every Pittsburgh fan on Twitter, you crybaby, you this, you that. First of all, let me tell you, you can ask the Predator fans in Nashville. I'm not always the nicest guy in the world to Predator fans and the Predators. I just tell it how it is. And like I said, I think the Penguins are the better team in this series, especially with Johansson out. I think the Penguins are the better team. But at that point, you know, I'm just calling it how I see it, and how I see it is there were some serious problems there. And not only that note, but I remember when we were talking about Chicago, and I said the entire time, I said, look, if they can beat Chicago, and I didn't think they could, but if they can beat Chicago, they're the second best team in the Western Conference. They'll win. They've got a shot. Now, and I remember saying, now, when they get to the Stanley Cup final, they get New York or Columbus or Pittsburgh or Washington. And I think we kind of see some of that a little bit because they played Pittsburgh. But the officiating did nobody any favors, did no fans any favors. It was just, it was brutal. Pete's up next on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. What's up, Pete?
Hi, guys. Got a couple comments if you got time.
Give us your best
first one. Okay. The best one is the Jordan rules that apply to Crosby. I mean, I know the other night whenever he's ramming PK's head in the eyes is the obvious one, but, I mean, if you watched him, man, he was hooking, he was holding, and the ref was looking at him, and nothing be calm, you know. I don't understand it. I mean, you know, I know there's star power, but at some point you got to do something.
Floyd, what do we think about the amount of leeway Crosby got in this series to the college point, the Jordan rules, the Michael Jordan kind of, you know, the Michael Jordan mentality? Because obviously Crosby got favorable calls in this series. So what do we make of that? Is it the reality of the situation, or is it something that shouldn't happen?
Well, I think it's the reality of sports, pro sports in general. You know, is Tom Brady going to get a break on a roughing the quarterback penalty now and then? Yeah, he is. And the reason that happens is because imagine the league without Tom Brady.
Ratings went down the beginning of the year this year.
Yeah, now where are you? And I think there are certain players, LeBron James, you know, what's the NBA going to be like if he's not in there? And I think you can go through certain players in these games and say, okay, I understand. People are watching this game not to watch the officials, not to watch the coaches, but to watch that player. And so what happens if, you know, the teams are trying to defend him? They say, no matter what happens, you know we have got to eliminate this guy. And I think you get guys that do bang him and hit him and, you know, hit the top of their foot and, you know, whatever it is that that can irk them or try to get them off their game or whatever the case may be. And I think they realize that. And so, you know, they try to compensate for it. They say, okay, this guy has got to score some goals for this. You know, that's what's good for the league.
Well, I'll tell you what the answer to the favoritism of stars is. Did I say that right? Favoritism of stars.
Okay.
Get a star. You know, like if you don't like that Crosby gets the treatment or Taves and Kane get the treatment or the make Philip Forsberg a superstar, get a star, and then you'll get the calls if that's the way that this works. I don't know. I think the NHL's this is really the reality of it. The NHL's problem in officiating is probably deep rooted and at the top, and it's probably a procedural thing more than it is a they like this guy, don't like that guy thing. I think it's an overall thing, a big picture thing, and not just a one person, one play thing. That being said, I still think they should fire the ref from last night, because if you're out of position in the Stanley Cup final and you blow that call, you've got to go. You've got to go. When you make mistakes matters just as much as what mistakes you make. You know, if you are a wedding planner and you make a mistake and they ship you the wrong wedding programs, but you made the mistake a month ahead of time so you can go back and fix it or something like that, you probably keep your job as a wedding planner. If you're a wedding planner and you're supposed to order a wedding cake and instead you end up with crawfish, you probably get fired as a wedding planner and you're probably done because they had no wedding cake at that wedding. Let's go back to your phones. Let's go to Brooke, who's up next. Thank you for calling. What's up, Brooke?
Hey, guys. Great series, great season for the guys. Disappointing end last night. To the officiating, you know, I kind of agree with both of you on certain points. You know, I don't think the officiating in this series was biased towards Pittsburgh. However, Jared, I do want to agree with you on a couple points here that, you know, it is tough when I feel like games one and game six, we played well enough to win those games and to have two goals called back and taken off the board. You know, I know you can talk all day about how we should have scored on the 5-on-3 or in game one.
And they should have scored on the 5-on-3. They should have scored on one of those power plays last night. But I know what you mean.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. I just think it's tough when we're getting goals taken away from us in situations that I believe are potentially game-altering or series-altering points in the game. My question is, what do we do about it? So I feel like we're kind of in this place in all four sports right now where, you know, every time we get to the playoffs, people gripe about the officiating. That was the big story in the NBA in game four the other night, was that the officiating was horrible. We have this in the NFL. We just had it in the Stanley Cup Finals. And it's like NBC wasn't going to talk about it last night. And the narrative that I hear a lot amongst local media outlets is, oh, well, we don't want to be that fan base that blames losses on the referees. And while I agree, I don't want to be that fan either that talks about, oh, the referees messed this over or anything like that. My question is, to what end? Because the referees are in a position where they can significantly alter games.
Well, let me tell you what I don't like, Brooke, and I appreciate your call. Let me tell you what I don't like is when you're watching a game. Go back to the Forsberg goal in game one, or excuse me, the Subban goal, but Forsberg, the offside call in game one. Remember NBC, the broadcast on NBC's broadcast as they were reviewing the goal, and everyone said, oh, no, this is definitely going to stay. This is definitely a good goal. You know, there's nothing conclusive here. There's no way to overturn the goal. And then the ref comes out and says, no goal. And it's like the broadcasters, Floyd, like you hate, the flip-flopping, they immediately just kind of fall in line. Well, the ref said it was no goal, so I guess it's no goal. Wait a minute, dude. I thought you and the media, when you're a rights holder, is very cautious of talking about the officiating. That being said, in hockey, I think it's certainly an issue that's got to be addressed. That being said, he asked, you know, what do you do about it? Well, you were a coach for about 20 years or so. My guess would be, didn't always see eye to eye with the officials. What could you do about it, coach?
Nothing. Not a thing. Every week you would send in a report of the penalties and the ones that they messed up on. And every Thursday they would call you back and say, you're right, we messed up on that one and that one and that one and that one. Okay, thank you very much. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. Nothing changes. Nothing just keeps going until you get to a point that you change the rules. You got to go to the very top and you got to change the rules.
And fire the ref for being out of position. I don't see why everybody just looks at that and just kind of ignores it. Like, he was out of position.
You don't even know if he was out of position. You don't even know where he was supposed to be.
Everybody said he was out of position. Chris Mason said
everybody.
He was out of position.
Everybody.
Who else said he was out of position?
A lot of people there
said he was out of position.
Is not a spot for you to be.
Gary Frazier?
If there's not a spot for you to be, like there is in the NFL, like that's volleyball. Why you hear them talk about being out of position. If there's not a spot, then, you know, could you be in better position? Yes, you could. Are you ever out of position? No, you're not. I'm back here. I can see it.
We'll get back to your calls at 615-737-1025. But coming up next, what do we learn about the Predators? What do we learn through all this? We'll get to that coming up next here. It's Jared of the GM, and it's right here. You're listening live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
When the sting of this goes away, whenever that day comes, what do you want to remember most about this team?
Just the heart. We never gave up. You know, we lost. We lost a lot of guys through injuries, and 16th seed. No one really gave us a chance against anyone, and here we are in Game Six. And you know, I think things didn't go our way, but that happens, and that's sport. And like I said, this team never gave up. We believed all the way, and just a great group of guys that, you know, our goal coming in the playoffs was just to unite and inspire a city, and obviously win a cup. We didn't do that, but I think we did the first one, and that was a pretty cool feeling.
That was Mike Fisher last night on the NBC Sports Network after the game. And you heard what he said. Hey, we overcame a lot. We did this, we did that, had injuries. And I wonder, from looking at this series, Floyd, you know, what do we learn about the Predators without Ryan Johansson? Because now we can finally step back and we can take a look at the team and we can say, okay, what did we learn? Because to me, Ryan Johansson's a restricted free agent. He's going to sign a big contract. It will be with the Predators. He will stay with the Predators. But, man, I realized more than anything, they're a scrappy group. And they, like Fisher said, they don't give up. But they need him in the lineup. You know, you never want to make injuries the reason that you lost. And I still believe that the Pittsburgh Penguins were the best team, and that's why they won, in spite of the injuries and despite the officiating. But I do look at this and say, man, you know, this to me kind of circles how important Ryan Johansson is to this team. And so they proved something to me without him, but they also proved how much they needed him, if that makes any sense.
Well, I think, and we talked about this before, you know, we don't have as many stars up in that front group as we will have in the next year or two. You know, we've got a lot of young guys that I think potentially have a chance to be really, really fine players. And if they do, then, you know, all of a sudden losing a Johansson is maybe not that traumatic for you. But because that, you know, is not exactly where we want it to be yet, I think losing a guy of that caliber, especially playing as well as he has been or was playing during the playoffs, I mean, I don't, you know, we couldn't replace him. And I think when you lose anybody that you can't replace, now you may try to do it with three or four guys, and, you know, there may be that guy that sneaks in a goal here or there, but are you replacing him totally? No, you can't do that.
Well, and, you know, I really took away the fact that they didn't give in, because they could have, you know, folded the 10 up in the Anaheim series. You're tied 2-2, Johansson's out, Fisher's out. Go ahead and fold the tent and, you know, pack it in. Hey, it was a good run, but, you know, it's a little too much. I think it's over with. And they didn't do that. You know, Gaudreau goes into the lineup, and Gaudreau played great. And, you know, Colton Sissons has a hat trick. But the truth is, in order to win a 7-game series against the Pittsburgh Penguins, unless Colton Sissons decides to have a hat trick every night, there's no way to replace on a consistent basis what Johansson meant to the team. So it's like, my big takeaway is, I think that you should be proud, if you're a fan, you should be proud of how. You should be proud of how you played as your team played without Johansson. But you should also realize how much you really, really, really need Ryan Johansson. Yeah, I think that's kind of the other side of it that you circle around and say, you know what, this guy is pretty indispensable to what you want to do. And I think it should get you a little excited about the idea of next year. You know, what if Johansson isn't hurt? What does that mean? So,
well, that, I think that's part of it. I think the other part of it is that they, you know, from a confidence standpoint, if you can go into a game after being through this and going through this, and all of those guys looking, and I'm not taking away from anybody that filled in for him, because I thought they did an outstanding job considering. You're just talking about a different guy. And I think all of those guys, especially, you know, the Forsbergs and the RVs, and really, really get to a point that they appreciate him, understand how important he is. And that's going to go through the rest of the team. So from now on, whenever he is in there, I think it's a little bit of a security blanket for you.
Let's get back to your phones at 615-737-1025. That being the number. Kevin is up next. Thank you for calling. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, we're treating this blown whistle as though it's something that cannot be reviewed or overturned. The video replay rule specifically states that is one of the things that can be reviewed. So I'm questioning, first of all, obviously the crew on the ice didn't take that rule into play. They didn't get any help from Toronto, but Laviolette needed to challenge that call and put some pressure on them.
The way it was presented to me was, if nobody had touched the puck when it came out of the goalie, from underneath the goalie, besides the goalie, wherever it was, and if that puck went across the goal line and nobody else touched it, then it could be reviewed and turned over. But because we knocked it into over the goal line into the goal, that all that reviewing is eliminated from that point on. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know if that is gospel. That's the way it was presented to me.
I told you the hockey rule book and the rules on hockey are too difficult for me to understand. It's almost like you have to have, it's like you have to be a Supreme Court justice in order to understand and then apply the rule to what it actually is in the NHL. But your understanding, I believe, is correct. You cannot challenge that call. If you could have, they would have. I mean, Mike Fisher lost his mind when they took that goal off the board. I still can't get over them taking the goal off the board. The official being out of position and then blowing the whistle when he can't see the puck, I think is ridiculous. But I think you have to move on now. I think it's time. I think it's officially time to move on from the bad officiating. I hate that it was decided in part in this entire series because of officiating, but I think it's time to move on. Is that fair?
It's fair for me.
Here's what we'll do. We'll take more of your calls at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get right back to the calls. And, there's a lot of different angles of this game, and maybe one that we haven't highlighted enough. We'll get to that coming up next as well. As well as we're going to give something away in the next segment, too. So do not go anywhere. It is Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We've proven that we're a team that can compete now and can win now. And I think that we got so many guys that, like I said, are just going to take experience from this run and use that to propel them over the offseason and come into the regular season and do what we need to do.
Jared of the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was P.K. Subban last night. Floyd, you hear P.K. talking about learning about how they can compete and how they feel like they can get to that next level and things like that, etc. As much as we've talked about officiating today and we've talked about, you know, injuries and the situation and Crosby, how much of the last two games, especially Game 5 and Game 6 of this playoff run, we have to look at it and say, you know, the Predators just didn't play well enough. They had the opportunities, 5-on-3s. They were on the power play. They had their opportunities. They had a bunch of scoring chances even after the blown whistle. Obviously, they did not play well enough in Game 5. How much of it is, because we have barely even touched on this, do they need to just look at themselves and say, hey, man, how much better should we have played in this series, and how could that have changed things?
Well, rightly or wrongly, I think this is the first series that they will look back and say that. Prior to this, even though not every game has gone well, you know, they started the series all off great. They're on the road, of course. But the first thing they do is win game one. So now you've back to where you've got home field. And you play through the series, some good, some really good, some maybe not so good, but you end up winning them all. I think when you got into this series for the first time, you know, we're 0-2, but we do come back to Nashville and tie it up at 2-2, and now we hit game 5 going back there, and in my mind, that was the real kick in the gut.
The game 5?
Yes.
See, I look back at it right now. I think game one was the one that you let get away. And they all, I mean, on some level, they all. Game five, I still don't understand game five. Like, I don't understand how that happened. How they came out so flat against the Penguins, and the Penguins just put it to them. And before you could blink, they're down 3-0. And you're like, where did this come from? You know, like, I don't know how that can happen. But in game one, they had their opportunity. And that was like the other series. That was their chance to steal, was game one.
Well, the reason I say game five in my mind was, you know, you're coming off of just winning two games. Now, you lost the first two, But okay, I'll give you game one. But we played really good in game one, and it was close. And so we're still hanging in here tough. We just beat them twice. We're feeling pretty good. Now, if we can sneak this next one out, now we're going to be in great shape.
Go up.
And then, wham! I mean, you literally get kicked in the head. Everything that can go wrong went wrong. You know, your goalie's taken out at the end of the first period. The backup comes in, and he does the same thing. It was just awful. And I think right then you kind of go, uh-oh, what's going on here now? You know, this has not happened to us to date. And we know how good this team is. And, you know, then it got hard.
Kevin is up next here on Jared and the GM. Thanks for calling. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Here's my thought along the lines of what you guys have been saying. I believe the bad officiating and the goals that were taken away from us in game one and last night, I believe that may have robbed us from a game seven. But I believe the overall reason, the biggest reason we lost the whole series was due to the fact that Ryan Johansson was hurt. I mean, that took every line, the Jofa line. Arvey and Forsberg wasn't even playing together after that. So that shuffled everything. So I think that's the biggest reason, and there's no reason for us not to be optimistic about the future because we're going to have him back. And like you said, we're going to have a force to deal with in the next several years. Well, we'll get there again.
Well, in the next couple of days, and Kevin, I appreciate your call. In the next couple of days, the injuries are going to come out, the injury reports of who's been playing through things and who's hurt and who's not and so on and so forth. And I wonder what's going to be the case with Arvidsson, because there's one of two things. Because I cannot get over Arvidsson in the playoffs. Arvidsson was plus 16 for the season, and he was plus 13 in the playoffs outside of the Stanley Cup Final, and he was minus 10 in the Stanley Cup Final. And that tells me either Arvidsson needs to be playing with Johansson and Forsberg, or else he's ineffective, or that Arvidsson's hurt. I don't know one or the other, but there's something there. I can't add this together. And I wonder how much of the effect of taking away Johansson and then kind of breaking up those lines, putting Arvidsson on one line with Neil and putting Åberg with Forsberg, how much that affected those two and the offense as a whole. Because as we said, in games five and game six, you didn't score. So unless Colton Sissons was planning on scoring a hat trick in every game, you weren't going to get the production you were getting from that top line, which if you go back to the St. Louis series and the Anaheim series when Johansson was in there, was your line that was putting the puck in the net.
Was not Forsberg similar last year to RV this year?
I don't know what Forsberg was plus-minus-wise in the playoffs. I do know that he gave you two goals and two assists in 14 games. And then it came out after the fact that Forsberg was hurt. But I still don't take the injuries as too much of an excuse, because the way that I look at it is if you're too hurt that you can't play, then you shouldn't play.
Yeah, but I mean, every
but
guy,
I know what you mean.
Every guy on the ice is hurt now.
Last year in the playoffs, Last year in the playoffs, Philip Forsberg was minus 11.
There you go.
So
that's what Arvey's going to be.
So Arvidsson's going to turn around next year and be better.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, you know I love Arvidsson. I do. But, I mean, I don't know how you how can you be such a good player all year and be such a good player in the first three rounds of the playoffs and then be minus 10 in the Stanley Cup Final in six games?
I keep pointing back to youth and inexperience.
Except that he played in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, but he's only, what is he, 23, 22? How old
so is Forsberg. Forsberg's like 23. Yossi's like 25, 26.
Forsberg was playing all last year, right?
Yeah, so was Arvidsson.
But not like Forsberg.
Well, I mean Arvidsson was a bottom six last year.
Yeah, he was down the line a little bit.
But he still played in every game. He had a game-winning goal in overtime in game six of the San Jose series.
Yeah, but I think he'll come back and he will emulate Forsberg's rise.
Even though Forsberg was not much of a factor in the Stanley Cup Final.
Now, that's another question. We got to get it.
Well, and I said this yesterday when I was doing the pre-game yesterday. And I said, look, your stars got to show up because we know their stars are playing. So if their stars are going to play, Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, your stars got to play. Now, your main star showed up last night, Pekka-Rinne, but outside of that, Arvidsson didn't score, Forsberg didn't score. I mean, they need those guys to score if you want to compete with the Stanley Cup champions, and that's, I think, the downfall. And I wonder how much Johansson has to do with those two guys.
And I would question this. I mean, the absolute lockdown, most in charge, just kicking butt series we had with Chicago. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat. Boom. Here we are. Now, every series since then, we had little bumps. You know, one, there was one, and then the next series there's maybe two, and then the next series there's three. And I don't, you know, I don't understand where that would come from. You think it would go, now they're playing better competition, obviously, and that may be the entire thing.
Except I'm not sure outside of the Penguins that they did play better competition after Chicago.
Yeah, maybe they did.
The Penguins, yes. But was Anaheim really better than Chicago?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people would say no, I know that.
And I thought St. Louis was easily the worst team that they played in the playoffs.
Yeah, but and you would think they would dominate them, both of those, in similar fashion, but, you know, they didn't. And not, and yet I understand that. That's not my point. I think my point is that after the Chicago series, when you were hoping that we would some way, somehow accelerate and just continue to improve series by series, I'm not sure that we did. Maybe we did. I'm just not sure we did.
Okay, let's get away to giving away what we need to give away, and it will be for caller number three. Can we do that? Let's do it. Caller number three at 615-737-1025. I want a four-pack of tickets to Monster Jam that Saturday, June 24th at Nissan Stadium. That is Monster Jam. Caller three will win that. If you're on the line holding for the Preds, Predators playoffs tonight, a special edition is coming up next. They will get to you, so enjoy that. Tonight is the Major League Baseball draft. Floyd, are you going to watch?
That would be a no.
Vanderbilt might have the number one pick in the draft.
Oh, I may watch the first guy taken.
You know, I'm rooting against Vanderbilt's guy, though, to be the number one pick in the draft. You know why?
There's got to be a Louisville.
Yeah, there is, baby.
There you go.
The player of the year went to Louisville. Maybe he'll go number one. I don't know. But anywho, that's going to do it for us. We're back at it at 2 o'clock tomorrow. So today was kind of a reflection of the season. Tomorrow is going to be where they go from here. So that we will all get into. Plus, the Predators will have their official media departure for the players tomorrow, and we will have that on our show. We will have that type of stuff going on right here, and that's at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Predators playoffs tonight is next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.